football fans, welcome back to the Fourth and a Mile podcast alongside my good friends Brady Bradley and Jeremy. My name is Josh, and we appreciate you all tuning in. So, fellas, did we survive bipocalypse? How did we do this week?
Absolutely not. Not even close. I had a league where I had Cooper Kupp, Josh Allen, and Stephon Diggs.
That's going to hurt. You're just waving the white flag at that week. That's so bad.
Yeah, and Bradley took advantage of me in a bye situation as well. I was going to play Gus Edwards, not knowing he was going to be the starting running back, so I traded for David Montgomery and Matt Ryan, and they both stink.
David Montgomery hasn't even played.
But he still stinks. Anyways, how did you guys survive?
On the trade. No, oh, everybody listen. I get a text from Brady about inquiring about this trade. I did not reach out to him. You can only be mad at yourself.
That's fair. Did you survive the bye week?
No, I'm done with fantasy. Stick a fork in me. I'm going to keep surfing the waiver wire, but it's just not doing anything for me at this point.
What about you, Becker?
I didn't have fun this week.
Are we talking about fantasy, or are we just leaving it there?
Yeah, let's just say you guys are lucky I'm on.
Let's talk some notables, because we actually do have some notables to talk about today. On Thursday Night Football, the breaking news broke that Christian McCaffrey was getting traded to the San Francisco 49ers. It was a second, third, fourth, and a fifth, I believe, between 23 and 24. I think there was one 24 pick. But anyway, so CMC is with the 49ers. Let's talk in a football standpoint and a fantasy standpoint. Where does that put the 49ers, and where does that put Christian McCaffrey as far as a fantasy output?
Man, for season long, like with the running backs in San Francisco that are not named CMC, I mean, Bradley said it best, stick a fork in them, they're done. Their viability on being relied on is just done. They don't have any fantasy value for the rest of the season outside of injury.
As far as an NFL standpoint, when you look at who won the trade, who lost the trade, obviously it's too early to tell. In my opinion, I would much rather be a Panther fan than a 49er fan on this side of the deal. When you look at possible second-round running backs that are going to be in this next year's class, just to name one of their four picks, right? Like, they got a second-round pick, which is huge. And as a 49ers fan, do I think Christian McCaffrey moves us into Super Bowl contention? And my answer would be absolutely not. I think Christian McCaffrey, I mean, out of all three of us, right? Like, who pounds the table for him more than anyone? Me. So I like Christian McCaffrey, but I don't know if that's makes him a Super Bowl contender at this point.
I totally agree with that. I think Carolina got really good draft capital return for aging running back.
I like the trade for the Niners.
Why?
I think they're the best team in the NFC West. I think once he starts playing, I mean, they're one of the four best teams in the NFC, I would say. If that's the case,
I'll name someone who ain't going right back to that take. That's Geno. The current division leaders.
Yeah, I know where they are right now. I know who's winning the division right now. It does not mean that it's going to happen after week 18. I still think the Niners are the best team in the NFC West. And I don't think Seattle's the second best team in the NFC West. So
yeah, but I think that I would have said that the Niners were the best team without Christian McCaffrey as well.
That's a fair point.
I would agree with that.
Especially the running back production that they were getting from Jeff Wilson and Elijah Mitchell, a healthy Elijah Mitchell. I don't think that production is the draft capital that they produced less than what CMC brings to the table. So I don't love it from a long-term perspective from the Niners.
Like, they weren't – none of us were watching Niners games and going, they're a running back away from winning the Super Bowl.
Totally.
I still think their biggest issue right now is probably Jimmy G. Now, their defense didn't look nearly as dominant as it's been, but it's the Chiefs, so –
Are the 49ers defense overrated? Is it overrated? Didn't they get cooked last week too? Who did they play last week?
It is back-to-back weeks, and last week was not the Chiefs. It was the Marcus Mariota-led offense in the
and they were getting national media attention after they took out the Rams, and the Rams have not been putting up points on anybody. So I don't know. I'm just
makes sense.
I think they have the one of the top two middle linebackers. Bosa's really good. They're getting healthy on the back. Like I'm not disrespecting it. Like I like D'Amico Ryans as a defensive coordinator too, but I'm just saying might need to temper the brakes on their defense as well. The other notable, which broke Sunday morning, Isaiah Pacheco is a starter for the Kansas City Chiefs. So everybody proceeded to go to the waiver wire and pick him up, myself included. Started him this week, and he was the third leading scorer for fantasy points for Kansas City. Clyde had more fantasy points. Jerick McKinnon had more fantasy points. And Mecole Hardman was better rushing the ball than Isaiah Pacheco was today.
Yeah. It's called being bamboozled. My question is, or I guess my, I don't even know how to say it. I don't understand. What's the point of naming him the starter? Like, is that a competitive advantage against the 49ers?
I don't know how it can be. I just think that's such an odd thing. And then to not utilize him to back up the comments is just baffling. I truly don't understand.
We don't have the snap share, so I'd be interested to know what the snap share was. But, like, watching the game, it wasn't like, oh, Pacheco is the lead dog there for sure. Like, it just didn't scream that to me.
And I'm going to venture a guess to say that the snap counts probably are in favor of Pacheco, because towards the end of the game when they were up, you know, 2, 3, 4 scores, like, it was all Pacheco. So, but again, yep. to Brady's point, when you watched the first half when it was competitive, I mean, it was – it felt like I was consistently watching McKinnon or Clyde out there.
Maybe that's good news for Clyde. Maybe they give their backup running backs more touches than their starters, because Clyde wasn't getting touches when he was a starter. And I thought the games that I watched of Kansas City, I thought he was the best running back on their team. I thought he looked good. I know Bradley disagrees, but I don't care.
I do.
Well, when Patrick Mahomes throws for 400 plus yards, I guess it doesn't really matter who the running back is.
That is true. Okay, let's get into week 7 recap, starting with the Thursday night football game. This one's mine, New Orleans versus Arizona. We actually had points on a Thursday night football game, so I guess we can give a round of applause for that. As far as what was good, I thought Andy Dalton actually was pretty good he was really good for fantasy purposes, but even the interceptions, not all of them were on him. I think, was it Tre'Quan Smith or Marquez Callaway bobbled one and it turned into a pick six. So, like, I thought he looked okay. And if I were projecting the rest of the year, I think he's going to be their quarterback over Jameis. I think they're going to continue to play Andy Dalton. As far as what else was good, I thought Kamara was a target machine. So you can build on that going forward. The efficiency wasn't totally there, but you'll take 9 targets any day of the week. On Arizona side, Eno Benjamin actually looked really good running the football against a pretty good defense. And then, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins did not miss a beat. 14 targets. He caught 10 of them and didn't get in the end zone and still had 15 fantasy points. So he is absolutely legit. You can play him feeling good about a high-end wide receiver 2, low-end wide receiver 1 each and every week with that volume. On the bad side, I just think it's tough to project what the future looks like for New Orleans. With Michael Thomas coming back, Taysom Hill vulturing some carries from Kamara, I just don't like what I see from the offense. And then on Arizona side, I just don't think Kyler has given you a return on your investment as far as draft capital. Like 17 fantasy points this week, it's not going to kill you, but I just don't think it's totally there. And then finally, you can drop Rondale Moore. Quit playing that game.
Yeah, that was a tough week for Rondale Moore. A player that I don't think Brady mentioned, unless I did not hear it, was Chris Olave. And Chris Olave had 14 targets. I think he's a mid wide receiver 2, maybe a high end wide receiver 3. But he's in your starting lineup week in, week out. In my opinion, doesn't matter the matchup.
Even with Michael Thomas?
Yeah, I mean, I don't anticipate seeing Michael Thomas. It'd be kind of a once in a blue moon if we see him back. So
thanks for your input.
I might be on the island here, but I actually think if you're a roster that needs wide receivers, I don't think I would drop Rondale yet. They had him playing on the outside. I think with Hollywood down, they had him playing on the outside and Robbie working his way in. I think when Robbie is more acclimated to the offense, he'll be back moved into the slot. And I think that'll help Rondale's value, but that's just a wait and see approach. Obviously, I'm not starting him.
Who was playing? Who was playing in the slot this week?
I think they had DeAndre in there, but they'll move Hopkins.
They'll move him around. But I just think you, Hollywood, you're gonna play because of the talent. I don't know. Maybe you don't drop him. He's not on stash or trash, but
I'm not playing him. I'm with you on that. I'm not playing him next week. But
Cleveland, Baltimore.
Honestly, a really good football game. Let's start with the good. Nick Chubb, another 20 plus point fantasy week. He is, correct me if I'm wrong, he's the number one running back in fantasy at this point. Is there a running back that you would prefer outside of Nick Chubb right now?
Saquon.
Saquon.
I have Saquon and Eckler are probably the two the only two that I would want above him just because of pure volume and passing work. Gus Edwards, like Brady alluded to, touchdown machine. He had over 50% of the RB carries. Now his snap percentage wasn't as good as you would think. I think it was closer to that 35% snap percentage, but when he was in there, he was getting carries. So that's definitely good news. If you stash Gus Edwards, the bad news is Lamar Jackson disappointed, only 16 passing attempts. Granted, they won, so take that with a grain of salt. Kareem Hunt, back-to-back weeks of very disappointing Kareem Hunt. He did find the end zone, which really saved his day. Only had 5 carries for 4 yards. And Mark Andrews did not catch a single ball. Had 1 carry, was his only touch. He was taking snaps as quarterback. So Rashad Bateman was also kind of a head-scratcher. Had less targets than he had more targets than Devin Duvernay, excuse me. But he really wasn't as productive as you would think he would be.
How do you guys feel about Gus Edwards going forward?
I feel great, to be honest with you. I don't know how you couldn't.
I thought he looked good to start the game, and then it looked like he might have gotten worn down a little bit. But I think you're going to feel really good him getting back into a rhythm, especially with no J.K. Dobbins. To me, I would like to see the snap percentage, but I thought he was out there for a good chunk of the plays and was also pretty good. Gus Edwards.
Gus Edwards was out there for about 35% of the snap percentage.
Did you say that?
I did.
He did.
Oh, well, good thing I was listening. I see that number going up.
Yeah, he's got some tough matchups coming up, too, at Tampa Bay and at New Orleans and then the bye. So I would maybe temper your short-term expectations with him.
Is Tampa Bay a bad matchup?
That's what I was about to say.
I was about to ask.
It used to be, that's for sure.
Not the foreman says otherwise.
What I was... And I think this is encouraging for Gus Edwards that I found interesting. When Dobbins came back, it was hardly anything week one for him. Like it was, they were very much easing him in. The feeling I got was, hey, Gus, here we go. Throw him back in there. Like I know he didn't play a high percentage of the snaps, but it felt like every time he was in, he was touching the ball.
So are you saying they maybe should have put J.K. Dobbins on the pup? Maybe make sure he was fully healthy?
You remember his tweet? He said he wasn't going on the pump.
Yeah, that's right. You're on IR now. Tampa Bay, Carolina. Josh, you get the pleasure.
Boy, was this ever a snooze fest of a game. But Carolina won this one 21-3. Quarterbacks, you know, Tom Brady's just been a huge disappointment this year. Only had 11 fantasy points and had 49 attempts. So that's a ton of volume for just not a lot of production. That's hugely disappointing. Based on what you were expecting from P.J. Walker, if you were starting him in a super flex league, you were pretty happy with that. But I think the story of this game was, Deonta Foreman was very, very efficient on the ground and he didn't need a touchdown in order to be fantasy relevant, which I think was very encouraging for him for this season without Christian McCaffrey. He outsnapped Chuba Hubbard out-touched Chuba Hubbard 17-11. So it looks like he's going to be that main dude there. Running backs for the Tampa Bay, Leonard Fournette was a massive disappointment. He's been quite good this year, but basically everyone on Tampa Bay disappointed other than Mike Evans. I think he missed that massive.
And you were disappointed with Mike Evans' performance.
No, well, based on that one play that he dropped, that absolutely would have catapulted him from like a good game to like an epic game of
like 10 for one. Obviously the game could have changed, but it would have been like 10 for 150 in a tub. Like that's
It would have been incredible. And then one thing that I think also was incredibly noteworthy is DJ Moore. he ended up being, he was, has been so bad this year with, you know, Baker. Is Baker the problem? He had seven grabs for 69 yards and a touchdown. So a great game for DJ Moore, especially from how he's doing this year. And yeah, so not much else from this game. You were okay with Chris Godwin getting 43 yards and seven grabs in a PPR league, but that's about it from this game.
So, go ahead, Bradley.
One thing that is worth noting is Chuba Hubbard did have, I think it was an ankle injury in the second half there. So it's something to monitor later on this next week.
You're playing Fournette. You're still going to play him every week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
You're playing Mike Evans.
Yes.
Yep.
Playing Chris Godwin.
Yep.
You playing Tom Brady?
No.
I mean, he was quarterback 14 on the year.
I just don't think he's, I don't know. I don't, I can't.
Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers? That's Tom Brady for me.
It is Tom Brady.
Probably Tom Brady.
You're not loving either one of them at this point.
I refuse to answer.
Okay. Let's move to Atlanta, Cincinnati.
Joey Buckets. The dude balled. Absolutely balled. 481 passing yards for Joe Burrow. Three touchdowns. The passing offense for the Bengals, it absolutely erupted against the Falcons. Joe Mixon was fine, got in the end zone, continued to do his week in, week out performance of slamming into cement, averaging about three yards a carry, but getting in the end zone. If they start to put more emphasis towards the passing game, I think there's a world where you can play Tyler Boyd as a flex play. Joe Mixon has continued to be inefficient. They threw the ball 40 times in a game that they were dominating, like dominating from start to finish. They continued to throw the ball. Boyd went nuts. Jamar Chase went nuts. T. Higgins was also extremely productive. Three guys almost over 100 plus yards. That's impressive. On the Atlanta side, there is not a single pass catcher that you can have confidence.
Larry Bird.
There is not a single pass that you can have confidence playing. Mariota threw the ball 13 times.
And that they were down in the game to start. Like,
yes.
They never had a lead.
Trailing the entire time. 13 times. I'm not dropping Drake London. I'm not dropping Kyle Pitts. But in any, if I have
talk about them.
If I have the capability, I'm not starting them. And I would try to buy Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, I think Brady mentioned that last week. One thing I would note, I would, if you're a Joe Mixon owner, I would sell him. You're selling him as the RB12. The torch has clearly been passed the last 2 weeks that it's Joe Burrow's offense. Granted, 17 carries is not bad for Joe Mixon, but he is not efficient. He's getting bailed out by touchdowns at this point. I would sell him as an RB1 and get good value for him.
I agree with that. If you can't, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it is definitely worth kicking the tires to see if you can find some more upside, because you're going to probably continue to get what you've gotten with Joe Mixon, but I don't think you're expecting much more. And when you draft the guy in the first round, more likely, this is not what you were expecting.
Rest of your Joe Mixon or Josh Jacobs?
Jacobs.
You got to go Jacobs on
that. Absolutely. I totally agree.
That sounds so crazy. I don't even think it's close.
I think if somebody said, like, for example, if I had Joe Mixon and I sent a trade for Josh Jacobs, I think it would be accepted. Because some people might be like, oh, better offense, Joe Mixon, bigger name. But Jacobs has been awesome.
He's been
balling. Last three games, he's eclipsed 30 points PPR.
Yeah. And I will say, this is what I anticipated Cincinnati looking like going into the year. I had, I think, Burrow at 7 or 8. But then I had Chase and T. Higgins both in my top 10. Like, this was what I was envisioning. I would like to have seen T. Higgins have the 28-point fantasy day instead of Tyler Boyd, but we'll live with it, I guess.
Higgins was close to a bigger day. He got tackled on the one.
That was a touchdown, by the way.
I thought it was too, but then they went quickly, and Joe Mixon ended up scoring. But
yeah, not fun. Okay, Detroit-Dallas. This game, you were expecting some points in this game. it was not that case. There was some late points. It finished 24-6, but it was kind of a disappointing game in general. Dallas seemed like they dominated the whole game. The good for Dallas was the running backs. So the both running backs, if you played them, you were happy with them. Zeke had two touchdowns. They looked efficient. They looked like they were grounding and pounding a little bit. So could be a sign of things to come. Who knows? On the Detroit side, what was good? Absolutely nothing. There's no silver lining here on anything that Detroit did. If you played Khalif Raymond, sure, you did good, but you didn't play Khalif Raymond, so let's just move on. The bad on Dallas side, CD and Dak. Dak's first game back, so I'm not going to overreact. CD didn't look good. He definitely didn't return on your investment there. And then what was bad for Detroit? Literally everything. Just hope DeAndre Swift comes back next week. That is your only hope for Detroit, in my opinion.
And St. Brown.
Oh, yeah, Amon-Ra. That's bad, too. Any other thoughts on this game, or can we move on?
No, I mean, like Brady said, you hope Swift comes back. I have Swift, I think, in, I want to say, three of my leagues, and he's just absolutely killing my fantasy season at this point. That's first-round pick for most people.
Yep, I agree. New York Giants and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The New York Giants find another way to win. This time it's via Danny Dimes on the ground. 107 rushing yards and a touchdown. Did his best Saquon Barkley impersonation. In my opinion, his rushing upside makes him a weekly streamer. So keep that in mind. Matchups will obviously depend on that, but he is definitely in the realm of streamable. Barkley, again, is about as solid as it gets with his volume. He's over 15 again. One thing that was interesting was Wandale Robinson. 6 first-half catches, which is something that is intriguing. We all wanted to see how that panned out. He did get banged up in the second half, which kind of put a damper on that. Travis Etienne was the featured back. That was the biggest takeaway from the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'll just transition into the bad. James Robinson was a non-factor, did not have a single carry. My advice for James Robinson is you keep him on the roster because you never know if Etienne's going to get banged up or anything like that, but you are certainly not starting him.
Tell me you didn't just ruin Stash or Trash.
For me? Yeah. No, I'm giving my advice. I'm giving my advice. And another bad was Daniel Bellinger goes down injury. Not sure how serious it is at this point.
Crazy injury.
Was it?
The eye. It was an eye injury. He got poked in the eye and like his eye swelled up. It was bleeding. Yeah, it was crazy. Etienne looked good, though.
He did. Really good.
He could have had a bigger day. He was close to the end zone, fumbled it through the end zone.
He just looked explosive, though, like a jolt. I don't know. I thought it was really good. Indianapolis and Tennessee.
Boy, we got another winner here. So Tennessee won this one 19-10 over Indy. Matt Ryan came crashing back down to earth, finished with 11 fantasy points. Tannehill got banged up on this one as well. So that's not, you didn't get anything good from the quarterback position. The running back position, Jonathan Taylor, he didn't kill you, but based on expectation, you were a little disappointed. He was 8 targets from and almost averaging 6 yards a carry. You expect a little bit more than what you got from him. Derrick Henry, similar situation, got a lot of volume, got like a good fantasy showing, but not exactly what you were expecting. Naeem Hines still did have 5 carries, so that, or I'm sorry, 5 grabs. So in a PPR league that you were still, he didn't kill you by any stretch. But Paris Campbell had 12 targets, 12 targets. Like that is something that you did not want envision that going into this year. So I think your expectation, I think we've known this now for a couple weeks, the expectations for Michael Pittman now, they have to just adjust. He's wide receiver 2, like maybe, I think, for fantasy right now, where you have to just adjust accordingly with that, because Paris Campbell is going to can pop off every now and again. And then we saw Pierce do that. And I think it was last week as well. So it's just going to happen. And then if you started Austin Hooper for whatever reason, you have 56 yards from him. So you're going to be okay with him, but that's about it from this game. Not a ton to go over there.
Michael Pittman Jr. or Chris Olave?
Chris Olave.
I would take Chris Olave.
Play is close.
It's for sure close. For sure close.
Monty's in on Olave. No,
in on Olave. Give me Olave.
Michael Pittman's the wide receiver 15 this year.
I know. Like,
it doesn't feel like it.
It's a roller coaster right now, though. Because what, last week he had a really good week, didn't he?
He did, yeah, yes.
20 fantasy points
last week. 16 targets last week.
Get the job done.
I'll still ride there.
Yeah.
You have to. It's my guy.
Have to.
Speaking of riding the roller coasters, we're going to talk Packers and Commanders.
I really despise you.
Give us your million, what is it called? Like the bird's eye view of it. Yes. Yeah.
Macro level view, long-term view of what you think.
It's not good, but like,
give
fantasy listeners a reason to feel somewhat comfortable.
Here are the two that I would feel comfortable about. Aaron Jones from the Packers. I would feel very comfortable where I'm sitting with Aaron Jones. He is by far and away their best player. It is so evident when you watch them play. And I would feel comfortable, although it feels gross right now, I would feel okay having AJ Dillon on my team. I don't feel excited to start him next week, but if they are going to win football games, it is going to be when they buy into their identity of hanging on to the football and methodically moving up and down the field. That's how they are going to do it. They cannot play how they are used to playing. Rodgers can't sit back there and pat the football like he wants to. They have to buy into the run game. It just has to happen. So if they want to win, if not, they can keep going out and playing the same game they've been playing for what feels like three straight weeks. But they have to buy into the run game. So those are the two I feel decent about. I guess I feel good about Lazard. If he's playing,
I was going to say that's what I was going to bring.
He's been consistent week in and week out. He's Rodgers' favorite guy. If he's on the field, you feel fine starting him. I was going to jump into the game as far as the good. I mean, it's Aaron Jones. Alan Lazard was fine. Terry McLaurin. I said it last week. If Heineke's playing, you want to play Terry McLaurin. That's his guy. He found the end zone. He's going to keep chucking it to him. It's kind of, he's closing his eyes and throwing it up there. Curtis Samuel was fine. Gibson performed, but I don't think that's something you can consistently bake on. The really good thing from the commander side of the ball, if you have Brian Robertson, he ran the ball 20 times. So you feel good about that. Brian Robinson.
I heard Robertson.
We'll have to check the tape. It's okay.
Sorry. The Packers right now. That's really it. All receiving weapons outside of Alan Lazard, you can't feel great about. That's just where we're at with the Packers. It's great. It's a fun place to be.
Amari Rodgers breakout game.
Oh, my gosh. After the muff punt, that was great.
Yeah. Just another ad.
We're not talking about AJ Dillon because we're going to talk about him later, and I'm going to tell you how I feel about it, too.
I know you drafted him in the fourth round or third round, whatever it was.
So. I very much reached on that dude, and he's a Packer, and I did it. And I don't feel good about it. New York Jets versus Denver Broncos. Man, I have some really, really good games to talk about today. The good for Denver. I mean, if I really had to choose something, it would be Jerry Jeudy, 11 targets. He looked okay, but the offense just wasn't good. On the New York Jets side, there was one thing I was going to say that was good. I had it in my notes, but we're not going to talk about it anymore because that player looked really good, but then we're going to talk about the bad. So on the Denver side, the whole offense is bad. And on the New York Jets side, the bad is Breece Hall. The reports are that he tore his ACL, most likely out for the year. He was locked and loaded in RB1. He was unbelievably efficient. He looked good. He looked fast. So you just hate to see that news. Yeah, he was. I mean, their receivers didn't look good. I mean, if you want a silver lining for the Jets, maybe it's, hey, we're going to get Elijah Moore the ball now more. Like, I don't know. Their offense didn't look that good. So all in all, a boring game. It was 16-9. Greg Zuerlein was the leading point scorer. So, like, I'm outside of Breece Hall.
I'm just waiting for Zach Wilson to kind of
let her fly.
Spark. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, he kind of came into the league as kind of a gunslinger. Seems really conservative. I don't know if it's the offense. I mean, it is a little flur call in the offense, so it could be pretty conservative. but
he didn't hear you.
I would just love for Zach Wilson to just let it fly.
It does seem like that he's being coached to like not You know, be super passive. Just don't turn the ball over. Let's win with the running game. We got a defense with, you know, some stars on the defensive side of the ball. Let's just win that way. And I think as far as Zach Wilson goes, like, it's not encouraging because it's working. They're 4-2. So I don't envision – 5-2. Excuse me. Yes, 5-2. So I don't envision that changing.
I will say from a fantasy note, looking forward, I do think you need – If you're looking for a streaming wide receiver, like how your wide receiver is going to stack up, if they're playing the Jets, like I think Sauce Gardner's here. Like I do think he's totally looked really, really good. So you kind of got a plan for that. It's going to be a kind of a long day. Sutton had some reds or end zone touches or end zone targets, and Sauce was all over it. So just say that.
Are you at all interested? I mean, is Garrett Wilson, you think, on waiver wires in some leagues? I'd have to look up the percentages.
But 71% of leagues. I think you can drop
him. He's owned.
He's owned
in 70% of leagues?
Yes.
Oh, really? You think? Wow, that's crazy.
I feel like
that's high, but I would just with how he's, his performances. For sure. With Corey Davis out now, I was just saying if any of those guys were floating around, I would maybe even take a flyer on Elijah Moore, but that's probably more so my bias is creeping in. But
bias is he's not coming to Green Bay.
No, not that.
I never wanted to give up on Elijah Moore. Okay. Houston versus the Las Vegas Raiders, our fan favorite Houston Texans, Bradley. Raiders.
Josh Jacobs, start of the week for Bradley Rose.
Jingleheimer Schmidt.
143 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns. He was as good as advertised. He starts out the good. Devontae Adams was productive without a touchdown. I think that's positive. He caught 8 of his 9 targets. Still had a productive fantasy day without a touchdown. On the Houston side, I take Damian Pierce as a good. I mean, he had 24 ops. I think that's good for a running back. You want to continue to have that when you're a Damian Pierce owner. Now the bad, Brandon Cooks, he is the wide receiver 46 on the season. It's not good. Less than 7 fantasy points again. So I don't know what you do with Brandon Cooks. I personally would keep him just because he might get traded before the trade deadline.
Yep.
But he is not startable at this point. So I, as an owner, I own him in a redraft league. I'm hoping that he gets traded is what I'm honestly hoping.
Yeah, you wait until trade deadline. If he still has this production, doesn't get traded, send him packing.
This is a guy you thought you were drafting as a target hog. He hasn't had double-digit targets since week 2.
I don't have my list pulled up, but I believe I had him as my 14th ranked wide receiver preseason.
I think I was 16 or 17, so I was right there with you.
Yeah, as a pod, we were very high on him, and it did just come down to those targets, and he's just like you were just saying, he's just simply not getting them, which is just head scratching based on the target or the competition that he's dealing with.
Since week 2, 7-7-6-5. It's not, and it's getting worse.
Yep.
I'd like to apologize to Damian Pierce for being too low on him.
Good for you. Good for you, Brady. I agree. I'm in the same boat, 100%.
I felt like I was high on him, but
yeah, I was gonna say that was like the to apologize for absolutely nothing.
Seattle versus the Chargers.
Absolutely! Wow. So this was a pretty awesome game. So let's start out with the greats, Ken Walker and Austin Eckler, absolutely balled. Walker had a huge home run. You know, I think it was like a 70-yard run late in the game that iced the game for the Seahawks and catapulted him into, you know, almost getting 30 PPR points. So absolutely amazing. And Marquise Goodwin, like, obviously is very low volume, but he had 2 touchdowns. Like, that's no one started him, but that's something that we can monitor with DK Metcalf kind of getting banged up. So I do think that's something we could have a conversation with in the waiver section. Mike Williams, speaking of getting banged up, he did us a favor and got some production before he ended up having to leave the game with an ankle injury. Just seems like the guy loves touchdowns and loves getting hurt. And he did the Mike Williams double this game, but
Grimy.
That was aggressive. I'll give you that. That was very harsh. That was very harsh.
You just gave it to my guy, Jeremy.
Yeah, he did.
I love Mike Williams, but
he loves touchdowns and he loves getting hurt.
Yeah, the Mike Williams double. What can I say? Yeah, and Gerald Everett, you're pretty happy with. He had 63 yards at the tight end position. Like that, you'll take that every single time. And the bad, and I wouldn't call it bad, but a little underwhelming for Herbert with 51 attempts. He only had 18 fantasy points. Like I'd say if you're getting that much volume, you'd like to be able to get eclipse at least 20. Geno turned the ball over twice, so not what you want from him, because I know a lot of people, he's been on fire, so a lot of people started him. But and then other than that, I mean, Tyler Lockett had a ho-hum game, and that's about it from this one.
Eckler 12 targets and caught all 12 of them.
That's absolutely incredible.
That's prime Austin Eckler right there.
That's guru.
That's a guru. That's classic guru Eckler season.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely guru season. He had, in PPR formats, he had 35 fantasy points and had 31 rushing yards. That's crazy.
I mean, it seems disrespectful calling him a running back at that point. He had more targets than he had carries. That's crazy.
Yep. Game of the week, Kansas City versus San Francisco.
The Mecole Hardman game. And everyone started him too. Everyone projected it. Patrick Mahomes went nuts. I mean, 400 plus passing yards, 3 touchdowns, produced a really big game for Juju, MVS, and Kelsey. The really tough part with this Kansas City team is you're playing Patrick Mahomes every week, you're playing Kelsey every week, and then who are you playing? It's sort of a roll of the dice. I mean, I think Juju is probably the most consistent wide receiver you can bank on. MVS had another, you know, solid yardage week, but again, that's 4 targets, 3 catches for 111 yards. Like, that's not something you can bank on happening week in and week out. Juju had 7 for 124. Another week where he's 8+ targets. So I think you can feel pretty good about that. On the other side of the ball with the San Francisco 49ers, it was interesting seeing CMC in a Niners uniform. He got acclimated a little bit, had 8 carries, looked pretty good on those 8 carries, did have 2 targets, 2 catches for 24 yards. He's going to be the guy when they get him fully into the offense. Jeff Wilson was fine. I mean, he had 7 carries for 54 yards. Again, I think this goes back to the conversation we had at the beginning, is were they a running back away? I think the pieces they had were fine, but those guys are going away. It's going to be CMC's backfield. Kittle was finally productive. Ayuk was good again. This is a guy who I think you can consistently play. He seems to be Jimmy's favorite target, 11 targets for him. The biggest notable, or the biggest bad, I would say, from this game is Debo. I mean, 7 targets, 5 catches, 42 yards. He doesn't seem like the focal point like he used to be. And with CMC, I just don't see that getting better. So there's not really a whole lot you can do with him at this point other than keep putting him in your lineup and hope the upside is there, because I just don't think you can really trade him right now for high-end talent.
I would trade for him.
I think you could probably get him low.
Yeah, like, I mean, right now he's the wide receiver 12.
Jeremy, I know you mentioned Juju. What my advice for Juju is, I would wait for him to have a bad week, because he's bound to at some point, right? Like, they have a lot of different options. And then I would trade for him, because I do agree. I think he's super, number one.
Yep. And I kind of – so they have their bye this upcoming week. And so if the Juju owner has 2 wins, has 1 win, is really trying to get is very desperate.
Could drop him.
Yeah, they might, or just try to just trade on the cheap and just say, hey, like, I see that you really need to win here. Let's get a deal done. Because I do think if you're in a good position, you can be able to take a week and just wait for him to be able to produce. I agree with Bradley. I'm huge. I rest of the season, I like Juju a lot.
In 7 weeks, he's had at least 5 weeks of 8 targets. With Patrick Mahomes, that's going to be good enough.
Oh, I totally agree. And he has a favorable matchup out of the bye, too. Get him a little bit more healthy if he needs to. I totally agree. Any other thoughts on week 7?
Keep surfing the waiver wire. We'll talk about it in just a little bit, but nothing on week 7.
The NFL continues to be wild.
Yep.
Rams are 3-3. The Bucks are 3-4. The Packers are 3-4. Like three.
The NFC Niners are 3-4.
The Niners are 3-4. Like four NFC teams that we thought could be contenders are, you know, and then you got the Seahawks lead the division.
Yep. Okay. Let's take a quick break, come back, and we'll do week 8 preview.
Hi guys, this is Jeremy Becker from the 4th and a Mile podcast. Just wanted to thank you guys for tuning in and remind you to follow us on Twitter at 4th and a Mile Pod. That's 4th and a Mile Pod. Thanks guys, and now back to the sports.
We are back into the 4th and a Mile podcast, starting with some week 8 preview. Doing what we always do, our waiver wire top fives. We start with an honorable mention, and then we go from 5 to 1. Let's get it started. Kind of a big week, couple big injuries. So we'll see where we rank these. Let's start with our honorable mention. Who is an honorable mention waiver wire?
Let's keep in mind that this is Sunday night. So if something happens Sunday night or Monday, or if there's some kind of trend that comes out, this is preemptively.
That's for a really good call out.
For me, honorable mention is Daniel Jones. I mentioned earlier that he's streamable. I think his rushing upside, depending on who you have, if you have Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert as your quarterback, he is someone that you can place in for a week.
Yeah, that I was just looking at the bye weeks. It's kind of odd they have, you know, just two teams this week. But I had Wandale Robinson as well. I thought that those targets that he had in the first half were encouraging enough to want to give him a look to see if he got banged up a little bit in the second and if he was healthy enough. But yeah, a good call out with Daniel Jones though, with the Pat Mahomes and Herbert.
Mine kind of feels like cheating. It's really close. It probably owned in most leagues and probably is after last week. But if for whatever reason in your league, if Deontay Foreman didn't get picked up, make sure you have him on roster.
Oh yeah, if we're not counting him, he's in my top five. So
I have him in my top five.
I have him in my top five as well.
Okay, I put him as honorable mention because I didn't know if I knew it was close in terms of percentages.
Okay, I just want to say I'm wrong a lot on this podcast. I'll eat all those mistakes, but I said Deontay Foreman last week. Let's go.
That was a big one.
Let's go. Okay, my honorable mention was Marquise Goodwin. If DK's down, I thought Goodwin looked really good. That touchdown that he caught was really impressive. So Goodwin is my honorable mention. Number five
for me is Darius Slayton. Two back-to-back weeks of, I would say, two of the last 3 weeks, he's been the focal point for Daniel Jones. And with Ben down, I think there's limited options.
I respect that. This is hopeful. All right, I'm going to just – Isaiah Pacheco. I have Isaiah Pacheco as my number five. I'm just banking on them getting another week of practice in as the number one running back in a really, really great offense. Hopefully they figured out over the bye. If you're in a great position, you can be able to stash him. Only exactly. If you're doing well.
Oh, I'm keeping him on my roster. Jeremy, who's?
Absolutely. Mine is Paris Campbell. I think he's shown enough in two of the last 3 weeks to at least take a look. I don't know if I'm putting him on my team and playing him right away, but I think with buys and different things like that, Paris Campbell is definitely somebody that you could trust in a flex position.
And I went with Daniel Jones as my number five player. Number four.
Number four for me was Gus Edwards. Gus Edwards is currently rostered in 39% of sleeper lineups, according to the source that I have here. So Gus Edwards should be on your roster. He is getting starter volume. I would go get Gus Edwards.
I like it. I had Marquise Goodwin. So Brady was talking about him earlier about DK being out. I think he's going to get the volume there, and Geno's been good enough to be able to support, I think, two pass catchers, and he can absolutely be one of them.
My next one was Wandale Robinson. This is a guy that this regime picked. I think they picked him for a reason. They don't have a lot of options that I believe Bradley just mentioned. I think this is somebody they have a plan for, so Wandale.
And I went with Paris Campbell as my number four. You can't argue with the volume. And he caught 10 of 12, I think it was. I'm not going to play him, but sit him on the bench. If he has another double-digit target game, then we can start talking. Who's your number three?
My number three is Michael Carter. With Breece Hall going down. I know that he's available in only 34% of the leagues, but if you're in one of those 34% of the leagues, go get him because he's a starter now.
I guess he's mine as well. Michael Carter's mine. Who's yours, Josh?
Gus Edwards. Gus Edwards, yeah.
My number three was Josh Palmer.
Really? No.
Keenan's still banged up. Mike Williams might be out. Take a look.
You can have him. I'm done with him this year. And I used to love him.
Number two.
Number two for me is Deontay Foreman.
Same.
Me too.
I had Gus Edwards.
Uh-oh. Who am I missing for my... My number
one. Who am I missing? I feel like...
Gus Edwards is my number one.
Oh, okay. I had Michael Carter as my number one.
My number one was Michael Carter.
My number one...
Your brother, I'm
Paris Campbell.
Really?
I would go get Paris Campbell. Ooh. I love his volume. He is averaging, I think, 11 and a half targets the last 2 weeks. And there's one thing to get targets, right? His snap percentage, I want to say last week he was on for 99% of the snaps. I think I saw something on it. Don't quote me on that. But the reality is when he's healthy, the Colts love him. So he is healthy right now. He should be on a roster.
Dang. I'm here for it.
I was just going to say, I like the data.
Bradley, it was not 99%. It was 100.
Was it? Thank you. So he's out there. He's got opportunities.
Stash or trash time. We're going to put it to the test.
Brady's pissed. He's coming out for blood right now.
AJ Dillon is the first person on this list. And we might spend 5 minutes with this
stash.
I think Brady was
trash.
I think Brady was gritting his teeth when he was typing AJ Dillon.
I mean, what the heck?
He's stash for sure.
You can say that about the whole offense. They ran the ball 12 times. They played too high the whole game. They made so many comments about it in the press conference. It makes no sense to me. There's just no way they can continue to do this week after week. And as soon as they finally buy into it, they have to give him the ball.
You cannot play him.
No, I'm not playing him. I'm not playing him.
You have to be able to
guess what.
Even though I
don't think Forshat, I've played him 6 of the 7 weeks. Foreshadow, I don't think this week is going to be an AJ Dillon week either against Buffalo.
Week 9 though against Detroit, start him up, boys.
I don't know if I can. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Hey, let's put that to the test. Rest.
Yeah, I was just gonna say
Isaiah Pacheco or AJ Dillon.
Dillon.
I was just trying to see where the line was.
I think these two are higher. AJ Dillon or Deonta Foreman?
Deonta Foreman.
I would say
Foreman. I would probably go Foreman just based on volume.
Yeah, I think so too.
AJ Dillon or Gus Edwards?
I would go AJ Dillon.
Gus Edwards.
Give me the bus.
Looks like the Gus bus has run out of gas.
It's super messy in Baltimore.
Tell me you know what movie that is.
Benchwarmers. I don't.
Benchwarmers.
Oh, it's been. Gosh. It might be.
I am 12. That guy when he.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. My goodness. Next person. Kenyon Drake.
Trash.
Trash.
Probably trash.
Absolutely trash.
KD had his fun. Has fun in the sun, though, man. He burned so bright.
Kyle Pitts.
Stash.
You have to stash him. The tight end position is so bad. Like, what else are you going to do? Like, you have to just continue playing him.
Stash. Jamal Williams.
Stash.
Probably stash.
I said stash because who knows if Swift's coming back.
Jamal Williams or AJ Dillon.
5 yards to carry against the tough Dallas defense. Like, he's not.
Okay, let's say here's a scenario. You don't know Fab. It's priority waivers. You have the first priority, and you have A.J. Dillon and Jamal Williams. Those are the two people you're willing to cut. Deonta Foreman is the number one person out there, so you can get Deonta Foreman. Which one of these two are you cutting, Jamal Williams or A.J. Dillon?
Jamal Williams.
I am cutting Jamal Williams.
Jamal. Cut them both. Dalton Schultz.
Stash. Sure. He actually didn't look that bad. He's
banged up, though.
I saw a thing. He said he was fine. Okay, and Dak loves
safety now. Dak loves him.
James Robinson.
Stash
him. One more week. Stash one more week.
Any of the three running backs we talked about, Gus Edwards, Deonta Foreman, Michael Carter, you're taking over him though, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. I was going to say trash, but Bradley's little message earlier actually got me to change my mind.
Yes.
What was your little message?
That you like, I mean, Etienne's a small scat back. Like, he could get banged up. There's a chance. I mean,
start with one, end with one. Romeo Doubs.
Trash.
Get him out of there.
I would trash Doubs.
Stash, give me another. No.
No, he's going down. He's going down with the ship.
I mean, to be fair, this isn't a knock on the Packers. He might have 12 targets this next week. Buffalo scores a lot of points.
That's fair.
So, still trash though.
Oh, I said stash.
Build him up just to tear him down.
Oh yeah.
No. I said stash, and I started him this week. He didn't catch the ball, so.
Respect.
You have to. Starts of the week. So I get to start us off with quarterbacks. Start of the week. Last week was Tua. Supposed to be top 12. Has not finished his game yet. I don't know how he's doing. So to be determined on that. My start of the week this next week. Is in our way. What did you say?
Tua be determined. Sorry, continue.
I'm so happy, Becker.
Okay, anyways. Yes. My quarterback start of the week was also in our waiver section. I'm going with Daniel Jones against the Seattle Seahawks.
Top 12.
6.
Attaboy.
You've been pretty good.
He's been balling.
He's like quarterback 14.
Oh, my goodness. All right. My quarterback start of the week last week was Derek Carr. He needed to get top 10. He finished 12. So close. My quarterback start of the week this upcoming week is going to be Kirky versus Arizona.
Why you do that to us?
Because
you get 5 just for calling him Kirky.
Kirky.
I'll say 11.
That's fair.
Actually, 10. If Carr's 10, I feel like
10.
I'll go 10.
Yep. That's good with me.
It's tough.
I went with Dak. He struggled. He was finished as the 14th best quarterback so far. I'm going to go with Derek Carr versus the New Orleans Saints.
9.
Yeah, 11.
Yeah, 11's fine.
Should be 12, but I'll take 11.
Yeah, because you don't have a choice.
Okay. My quarterback start of the week this week was Kyler. He needed to be top 8. He currently sits at 7, so that is a hit.
Calling a shot. Nice.
My quarterback start of the week for this week. I am playing a dangerous game here. Jared Goff.
I was going to say, tell me it's not Aaron Rodgers.
Jared Goff versus Miami.
Top 12.
Okay. I was hoping for 15. I'm just kidding.
My running back start of the week was Zeke. He needed to be top 16. He's currently at 9, so I'm going to assume that's a hit. My running back start of the week this week is DeAndre Swift. I need you to play Swift.
Top
10.
Ah, boy, that's a tough number. I don't really know. What do you think, Becker? My instinct was a little higher than that. I was going to say
8. I was going to say an RB1.
Oh,
10.
Okay. I'm fine with 10.
Josh is coming out swinging all the time. Hasn't played in 4 weeks. He needs to be a top 8.
It's going to get 8 targets. What do you want? My running back start of the week this last week was Breece Hall pouring out. So disappointing. He needed top 12, and he was absolutely on his way there, but he did not finish the game and did not get there. My running back this upcoming week is going to be Ramondre Stevenson at New York Jets.
15?
14.
Just to be difficult, got it.
I was thinking 6, but...
It's a good Josh impression. I love that for you.
14. I was hoping you were going to say 12 so we could do 13. But anyways, Bradley, go ahead.
My running back start of the week was Josh Jacobs. Ding, 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 ding.
We have a winner.
Running back number 1. That's 2 points for Bradley. I'm going I'm going to go with Miles Sanders versus Pittsburgh.
Jeremy's tilting off the face of the earth right now.
Top 17.
I was going to say
16. 15. We'll do 16.
16 is fine. What do you think, Becker?
16 is good.
How upset are you right now on a scale of 1 to 10? You've been happier. Let's just call it what it is. Bradley sniped you.
I've been sniped more than once. Try it three times. Two times, sorry. Not breaks.
I was going to say, you had all three of these.
My running back start of the week this week was Aaron Jones. He needed to be top 10. He was number 3. Good week for Jonesy there. My start of the week for this week is going to be Deonte Foreman.
Deonte.
That's a tough number.
What did he finish this week? I got that number.
I'm on it.
Well, my initial thought was 14.
I was going to say 18.
That's what I was more leaning towards Bradley.
That's what I mean.
I'd say 16. Same spot as Miles. Splitters in the middle.
16 it is.
You have his finish for this week?
One.
Keep moving on. I'll find it.
Okay. Three. Okay. My wide receiver start of the week for week 7 was Nuke Hopkins. He needed to be top 18. He was 11. Hit. My wide receiver start of the week this week, I am going with Devonta Smith. It's Pittsburgh Steelers.
24?
I was going to say 15. So I'll switch it to, I'll do 18. 15 was a little aggressive.
Wait, Devonta Smith?
He's boom or bust. 18.
Eight? Oh, I can't believe you even think about 15. Jeremy, what about you? Devonta Smith, what's your note? I don't think. What do you think?
Bradley, what did you say?
18.
That seems steep.
What do you think, Jeremy?
20.
Deonte Foreman finishes the running back 13.
Yeah, sorry. I just got in there.
Yeah. Okay.
We got 20. It. 20.
Yeah, 20 it is. All right. My wide receiver start of the week last week was Mike Williams. He didn't get top 12. He ended up finishing at 8, so that is a hit. My wide receiver start of the week this upcoming week is going to be Jaylen Waddle at the Lions.
My opinion, you should be a wide receiver 1.
What'd you say, Brady?
I said done. What do you think?
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
My wide receiver start of the week was Romeo Doubs. He tied his teammate, Randall Cobb, for points. The only difference is Randall Cobb was on IR. He is tied for 89 at this point.
He beat him in targets, though. And something
to say about that. Don't care. I'm going to go with Amari Cooper versus the Bengals.
15? 16?
I'll go 17.
Hey, Shosh.
What about you, Becker?
16.
16 it is.
Take that, Josh.
My start of the week this week at the wide receiver position was Chris Godwin. Needed to be top 14. See you never. that was a miss for anybody wondering. My wide receiver start of the week this week is going to be Adam Thielen.
Good pick. Great pick. Phenomenal pick. 18.
What about 18-19? Let's do 19.
I'll give him 1. Yep, good call.
19.
Yep. Tight end start of the week. I tried to go on Kyle Pitts. He finishes the tight end 29, which is really, really bad. My tight end start of the week, he's currently playing right now. It is Mike Gesicki. Against the Detroit Lions.
10?
I'll just say 11.
Don't the Packers play the Bills next week? Just kidding. He's not getting traded to the Packers.
Oh, I was confused.
I was like, reference.
I got myself to laugh.
That's all that matters.
Did you say eight? Pop off. It was 11. Between 10 and 11.
Yeah, 11's fine.
Oh. All right, my start of the week at the tight end position last week was David Njoku. He needed to get top eight, and he was four, so that is
David who?
Njoku.
Njoku.
Njoku. Got it.
No, it is Njoku. Jeremy calls him Njoku.
Oh, I was going to say, I am very certain that's how you pronounce it.
No, you're right.
So my tight end start of the week is going to be Dawson Knox versus Green Bay.
Top three.
10.
Jay Bex, you got it.
So I went with Mark Andrews. He needed to be top two. And I was arguing top three last week's episode. He was banged up a little bit and had one carry was his stat line. He did not have a single catch. So he finished his tight end 43. That was a miss. That was a bad miss.
Can we take away one of your 2 points from Josh Jacobs for that one?
Dalton Schultz is my start of the week.
Ten.
Eight.
Nine. Nine.
He feels good about that. He feels really good about that.
He does feel good about that. Yep. He's trying to hold it. He was trying to show.
Wish our listeners could see the face once we solidified nine.
Feel good about that one.
J-Bex, close us out.
What was that? Sorry.
I said close us out. Sorry.
I got you. My tight end start of the week for this week was Evan Engram. Needed to be top 12. He was 7. So for those of you keeping track at home, that's 3 hits for me this week. I won the week. Yep. Okay. Moving on to next week. My tight end start of the week, Dallas Goedert.
Give me an 8.
6.
I was gonna say 5.
Boy, that got progressively worse for you, Jeremy.
I'm good.
See who wins the week this next week, there, buddy.
It's not gonna be better than 6. He is a top 6 tight end in the league at this point for fantasy.
That's very fair. That was a roller coaster for you, Jeremy. You were like, oh wow, 8. That's
Josh says 8. Yeah, good. No, I 6. I said 5. Okay, sounds good. Our 1's got to go. So we originally, full disclosure, we had a different young running back stud on this list. We had to make a last second change, but we're stuck with the young running backs here. This is for the rest of the season. It's Ramondre Stevenson, Ken Walker, Damian Pierce, and Travis Etienne. Rest of the year, which one's got to go?
This is tough.
I'm going to go with Ramondre Stevenson.
That is where I went as well, because, I mean, that running back, that backfield, is going to get healthy again, and this workload is not always going to be the rest of season.
Yeah, Walker and Etienne are firmly there.
Interesting.
For me. And then Damian Pierce and Stevenson's are the close ones. Damian Pierce just doesn't have the appeal as the pass catcher or Ken Walker, who's the workhorse. Pierce is great and you're happy if he's on your roster, but the touchdown appeal is definitely not there.
How would you rank these rest of the season? I'll start with mine. Ken Walker would be 1, Travis Etienne would be 2, Damian Pierce 3, and then Ramondre 4.
What are we doing here?
That's my order.
I'm feeling Ken Walker 1, Pierce 2, Etienne 3, Stevenson 4.
Pierce 1, Ken Walker 2, Etienne 3, Ramondre 4.
Ken Walker cannot be 1. The same tier.
What? Pierce cannot be 1.
How? How can't he?
It's not 1.
Bell, he's got to get in the end zone. 20 carries, 90 yards is awesome, but he's got to get in the end zone.
You're going to get in the end zone. Don't worry.
What offense?
He'll get there.
It's a bad take, Brady.
He's the best running back in this list.
Oh, stop.
In Ken Walker.
Oh, my guy.
2 starts. He has 18 points and 31.8 fantasy points.
There's
let
no
him get film. Let him get film. So here's the difference. Film. Here's the difference. Damian started slow. Let them get the film. See what I'm about. I'm about that. in the flesh.
God, that makes me so happy.
Here's season. Let's go.
We need to get Brady pissed more often. That was amazing. Well, that wraps up this episode of Fourth and a Mile. Thank you so much for joining us. Go deep, and we'll see you.